Heavenly Father, Lord, it's hard to open the Bible right now and to think about going through a story. It's hard to think about life being okay and everything being all right. It's hard sometimes to put on a smile and a brave face and be joyful on days that you don't feel joy. Lord, we pray for the driver of the semi-truck who right now must feel, how do you put that into words? Lord, would you just be with that gentleman right now? Would you, I'm assuming it's a man, would you just be with that person, Lord, and would you reveal to them that you are the God that takes away all shame, and you are the God who cleanses us, Lord, from all unrighteousness, and you are a God that gives hope and peace beyond understanding. Lord, you don't just wipe out our heart and make it cleaner, you make it brand new. Lord, would you remove the guilt and shame from that person and make him brand new? Yes, Lord Jesus. Be the healer, Lord Jesus. Be the healer. Be the healer of his heart, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are faithful. And we can open your word with confidence this morning and speak about you, Lord, with confidence and with authority, because you do not change. You're still the same as you were 4 days ago. You're the same right now. And we thank you for that. Lord, give us hearts to hear. Give us eyes that can see. Lord, just soften us to your scripture as we open it up today. Help us to see what is true. Help us to know who you are. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen. 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 How do you turn to the book of Luke? How do you get yourself mentally prepared to go back into the story? We just had Easter Sunday. We're celebrating. We're celebrating. And yet the Sunday doesn't feel like a celebration. It doesn't feel that way. I guess in a way this didn't feel like a celebration either for the disciples. Their Savior was gone. Would you turn with me to Luke 24? If you brought your Bible. If you didn't bring your Bible, make sure to bring it next week. We're going to be using the Bible as we keep preaching for a long time. So feel free to bring it. Open it up to Luke 20. If you didn't bring it, trust me, I'm going to read the verses the best that I can. We're going to go through the very end of the story of the resurrection, and we're going to go into the story of the road to Emmaus this morning. The story of the two gentlemen who go for a walk, and on this walk they encounter the Lord just days after he's gone. This morning when I got up, I was just thinking through how do I bring this story to you? How do I put you in their place? How do you feel what these gentlemen are feeling? How do you feel what these ladies are feeling now that their Lord is dead? They're mourning. They feel hopeless. They feel powerless. They feel weak. The king that they followed for years, the king's gone. He's gone. He's gone. They would have been asking themselves questions, trying to figure out why would the king of all the earth, with all the power in the world, why would he allow this to happen to him? If he really loved us, wouldn't he have stayed here? If he really loved us, wouldn't he have set us free? Why would he allow them to kill him? Why would God do that? these followers of Jesus have locked themselves up. They're hiding. They're afraid. And rightly so. The leaders of the Roman world at this time just executed their leader because the Jewish leaders of the Sanhedrin threw an uproar. So what if these same Jewish leaders came back for the disciples the next day or the day after or the day after? So the disciples are afraid. They're afraid. And now they hear this report that the tomb is empty, their king is gone. The ladies come back and they say this. This is Luke 24, verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up. He ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. He went away wondering to himself, what had happened? What had happened? Why would God allow this to happen? Isn't God in control? Wasn't he supposed to be our king? You know how easy it is? I'm guilty of this. You know how easy it is to place expectations on God? To think, God is supposed to do this for me. God is supposed to do this for me. God is supposed to do this. God is supposed to do this. He's God. He loves me. He's supposed to take care of me. He's supposed to make sure I'm okay. He's supposed to make bad things not happen to me. He's supposed to. And you begin to make this list. We have expectations of what he's supposed to do, what he's supposed to look like. And these disciples, these followers, had expectations. And all these expectations are shattered because he's gone. And now the tomb is empty. There's no hope in that. Their king is not only dead, but now he's taken somewhere. It doesn't make any sense. Why would he be alive? And we're joining this story in the midst of this. This is two gentlemen are walking to a village called Emmaus. Emmaus is a small town 7 miles away. And two gentlemen are going for a walk that very same day. And as they walk out to Emmaus, something incredible is going to happen. The Lord is going to meet with them. Let's read these verses together. We're going to read the first half of this story. We're going to discuss it. And then we're going to read the second half. So this is Luke 24, starting at verse 13. So put on your walking shoes. We're going for a 7 mile hike. Here we go. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village. It was called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside with them. They were kept from recognizing him. He asked them this question, "What are you discussing together as you walk along the road?" What are you discussing? They stood still, their faces, they're downcast. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Jesus asked, "What things?" Pause for a second and place yourself in the shoes of these people. The whole city has been turned upside down. This is the most talked about, the most shared story in their city, on the greatest holiday that they celebrate. Hundreds of thousands of people in town, and this event is the centerpiece of that. And for them, it means hopelessness. They're walking down the road with their faces downcast. And this gentleman comes up and says, "What on earth are you discussing? What possibly could have happened? That's so upsetting." And they look at him, "Do you live under a rock? Have you heard nothing? Do you not know what all of us are talking about? How do you not know this? How do you have no idea? I feel like we can relate to that right now. It feels like our whole world's been turned upside down in the last 2 days. This gentleman replies back to Jesus. Verse 19. He said about Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, he was powerful in word and in deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb. They found it just as the women had said. But they did not see Jesus. They didn't see him. What was their expectation of Jesus? What had they expected him to do? He was supposed to be the redemption of Israel. See that in verse 21? You probably already have that underlined, don't you? We had hoped he was the one. We had hoped he was going to redeem Israel. But now that he's dead, all of that is lost. We had hoped. He was supposed to do that. That was our expectation of him. We followed him for 3 years expecting him to redeem us, to take ownership over us, to take authority over us. He was going to gain our ownership. He was going to lead over us. That's what we expected. But now he's gone. Our expectation of God did not line up with reality. God let us down. He was supposed to be there. He was supposed to redeem us. He was the great prophet. He was powerful in word and in deed before God. He was supposed to be the next King David. He was supposed to be the next great prophet Elijah. He was supposed to be the deliverer. He was supposed to be Moses. But he's gone. 3 years we followed him. He's gone. He died like a criminal. He just died. I think right now there's a lot of people in our world who are wondering why God isn't living up to their expectations. We expect God to be good. We've heard that God is loving, that God cares about us, that God knows us. Well, obviously that's not true. Look at what God allows to happen all around us. Bad things are happening to good people. Obviously, God is not who he claims to be. Because we had expectations. We expected him to do this and this and this. But God is not meeting our expectations. Have you heard this language before? We create expectations of what God is supposed to do for us, as if God's role is so defined by us that we can evaluate him and say that we have his job description, and so far, he's a 3 out of 5. So God, it's your fault for the missing 2% there. The missing 2 out of 5. God, you are not meeting up to your job description. You're letting us down. How foolish are we to not see the whole picture? These two gentlemen, as they walked down the road, they had forgotten something. That the role and the purpose of the Messiah was far greater than they understood. Far greater than they understood. You can't define what God's role is. You cannot make that up yourself. You cannot claim that God has not met your expectations. God is so far beyond our expectations. Let's read the second half of the story, and then let's discuss it together as a whole. So follow in verse 25. Jesus said to them, says, he said to them, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Let's read that one more time. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He gives them a lesson. He gives them a lesson in what his role is, what his purpose is. He says, you think I let you down? They still don't know this is Jesus. You think I haven't lived up to the expectations of Redeemer? Well, let's flip back, shall we? Let's go back to Moses. Let's go back to the Torah. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's read through together, how about? And he explains all the scriptures that are concerning himself. It says they approached the village to which they're going. Jesus continued on as if he were just going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, stay with us. It's nearly evening, the day's almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he does a very Jesus thing here. He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and they returned to Jerusalem at once. There they found the 11 and those with the 11. They were assembled together and they were saying, it is true. The Lord is risen. He's appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. These gentlemen do the 7-mile trek all the way back at evening, and they get into the room, and they get into the room, and there's the 11 disciples who are left. Judas is gone, and there's the rest of the followers, and they see these two guys, and they go, bros, he is alive. Simon saw him. Guys, he's alive. And the two guys are like, no, you don't get it. He's alive. We met him on the road. And there must have been this moment where they all kind of looked at each other like, really? Yeah. You saw him. I saw him. He is alive. We saw him on the road. We saw him on the way to Emmaus. What I want to know, is what Jesus said to them. Because their eyes were opened. Their hearts were burning inside of them when he opened the scriptures to them. Do you remember the moment in your life when the scriptures were open to you? Do you remember when salvation was explained to you? Do you remember the first time you realized that Jesus was the Savior of the world? Did your heart burn within you? Did a fire light inside of you when your eyes were opened to the scripture? And that's just been my prayer the last couple days, that people's eyes would be opened to the scripture and their hearts would just light on fire. Because there's no hope in this world apart from the hope of our Savior. There's no hope. And I'm not going to promise you anything but what he promises. He is my hope. He is my hope, and our world so desperately needs him. And I want their hearts to be lit on fire, and I want their eyes to be opened to the scripture. What did Jesus say to these gentlemen? What did he say? How can I show people? How can I show people in my city that my God is more than their expectations? That my God is the God of all the scripture? That my God is the God that created the universe? How do I open the scripture to them in a way that their heart is lit on fire? What do you say? What did Jesus say to these guys? Maybe Jesus talked about Adam. You ever think about this? You remember Adam was the firstborn, the very first man. And through one action, one act of disobedience, Adam brought sin and death into the world over all men. And Romans chapter 5 tells us that Jesus Christ, through one act of righteousness, defeated sin and death and brought life. He is the new Adam. He is the greater Adam. What did Jesus say to these guys? What did he say? Did Jesus talk about Abraham? Did Jesus flip through the scripture in his mind back to Genesis chapter 12? Did he read the blessing to Abraham? Did he read it so that they could hear it? I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Did he say to these gentlemen, Abraham is your great forefather. He is the founder of your nation. And because you're a son of Abraham, many of you believe that you are saved. But before Abraham was, I am. You revere Abraham. You worship him and how incredible his faith was. Abraham worshiped me. What did he say to these guys? I am the bringer of the promise. I am the one who will bless all nations, and they will be blessed through me. Did he take them to Moses? Did he talk about the Savior of the world? Did he talk about their Redeemer? The one who led them out of slavery, out of bondage, led them through the passage of death, through the water, to the mountain where God met with the people, who led them to salvation, who led them to the promised land. Did he go back to Moses? Did he say that Moses was your Savior? He spoke to God. He brought the very promise of God, the law of God, down to you. He helped build the tabernacle so that God could be in your presence. God with us. Emmanuel. You remember Moses, don't you? Remember the burning bush? Remember his obedience? I was the voice speaking out of the bush. What did Jesus say to these guys? I am the one who laid down my life so that the Lamb's blood could be above your doors. I lead you through the waters of baptism, through death to new life. I'm the bringer of the covenant of God. And I bring you the Holy Spirit so that God isn't hidden behind a curtain. God is now within your very heart. What about King David, the great king of Israel, the man that had a heart that was after God's very own heart? What did Jesus say to these guys? You thought I was going to be King David? You thought the Messiah would be the next great king? What, David was the protector? He was the defender? He was the giant slayer? Is that what you want from me? David brought down one man. I defeated sin and death. I am the protector. I am the defender of this nation. I will rule over it for thousands upon thousands of years. I am not the next King David. King David worshiped me. I am the eternal King of Israel. What about Elijah? Right here in these verses, it says, Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed. Who was the great prophet Elijah? He brought people back from the dead. He multiplied food for the hungry. He stopped the rain in the sky. He called down fire from heaven. God took him up to heaven. He never died. Was Jesus the next great prophet? Was he the next great Elijah? Was he here to bring people back from the dead and multiply food for the hungry? Was he here to show the world how powerful God is? Watch, I'll call down fire. Watch. Is that what Jesus came to do? What did Jesus say to these guys? I'm not going to call down fire from heaven. I sent down the fire from heaven. Elijah prayed to me. I sent it down. What did he say to these guys? Did he say to them that I'm the creator of the world? I spoke the world into motion? That at the very beginning, when there was no light, I said, let there be light, and there was light? That the Father and the Holy Spirit and myself designed man to be in our likeness and in our image? That I was here before the very world began. And you're disappointed with me because you don't think I'm good enough and you don't think I love you? You thought if I really loved you, if I really loved you, I would do this and this and this. So you're disappointed in me. You have no idea who I am. What did Jesus say to these guys? It says that their hearts were burning within them when the scripture was opened to them. And I pray, and last night as I was praying that hearts would be lit on fire in our province, and that the Holy Spirit would open up scripture to people, and they would hear, and that they would hear the truth. Our God is not a disappointment. Our God has not failed us. How dare we place those expectations on him? He spoke the world into motion. You don't think he was there when the bus tipped over? You don't think so? He spoke the world into motion. So when people claim that if God was good, if God really loved us, if this fairy tale God actually exists, wouldn't he have done something? You say this to them. You look them in the eyes, and in the love of Jesus, you say to that person, God did do something. For God so loved the world, he did something. You claim that God isn't good because God didn't do anything? He did. God sent his son so that we could all be set free from death. God's incredible love was displayed in that moment when his son died on the cross and rose again. You claim that God doesn't love us? God gave up everything for us. Everything for us. So that none of us would ever have to die. This world needs to know the God that loves them. So speak words of hope. Speak words of hope this week. This week, be a light to this world. Wherever God places you, be a light. And in this world that lives in darkness, wants to come after our God, give them light. Give them hope. Speak words of healing to them. Our God loves them. And our God loved every single person on that bus. He loved the semi driver. He wants all of them to be with him one day. Do we love people like that? Pray for healing. Pray for salvation and speak words of hope. This week, let your good works shine before the world so they will glorify your Father in heaven. Our world so desperately needs the love of God, and we hold that gift in our hands. Would you live with that light so intensely burning this week that people can't help but see it? And when people question our God, remind them that he gave up everything for us. He could not have loved us more than he did that day on the cross. There's nothing he could have done that would have loved us greater than that. Heavenly Father, Lord of heaven and earth, God, we pray that you would open up, that you would open up the eyes and the hearts of people around this world, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would reveal to them your beautiful plan and your beautiful purpose. Lord, we pray that thousands of people would come to know who you are, Lord. Would there be a movement of your Holy Spirit, Lord, throughout our land? And would people know that you are so good? And your love for us is never failing and it's unending. Lord, I can't imagine losing my boys. And I know that there's moms and dads who lost their boys. Lord, be with those people. Lord, would you stir up my heart? Please, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, stir up my heart to be a light wherever you send me. Lord, would this church just be a family of people that bear the torch, that carry their lights high for the whole world to see? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you give us incredible hope. And that one day we'll stand in your presence. One day we'll see you face to face and we'll fully understand how much you love us. In your presence, we'll see you. We'll see you, Lord, and this will all make sense. But here on earth, Lord, we just can't understand. We can't understand this kind of hurt. Give us faith, Lord Jesus. Would you give us faith? Would you give us hope? You're a good God. Thank you, Father. Father, would you dismiss this church in peace? Would you send them out overflowing with love? And would you make them a beacon of light and hope to everyone that they meet? Lord, thank you that you are our joy and you are our salvation. And you know and love each one of us. Lord, we thank you for all these things. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. The judgment you received, and you won my heart. Yes, you won my. And for